into Verizon. Our clock's about 6 minutes left, so I want to get started.
What's on the battery?
We need to reduce the battery.
Present at the meeting are Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Taggart, Co-Chairman Bell, Councilman Powers, Councilman Smiley, Councilwoman Dillon. Your pleasure on the...
Motion to approve the minutes of April 8th meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm not sure who's going to make the presentation on behalf of the Cross Guard, but if that person can come forward, identify himself.
Don't you present, all your questions.
I'd like to recognize the presence of President Bullock.
Colonel Elmer Setting, Chief of Police.
Thank you, Chief.
Go ahead, sir. Any questions you have, I'd be happy to answer them. If I can't answer, I'll defer to the Crossing Guard Lieutenant, Dominic Gregory.
With my understanding, we're going to have some type of overview of what's going on with the Crossing Guard today.
Well, again, because I don't, there's several levers down below me, I'm going to have Dom present some of that. If that's preferable, I'm going to give the chair over so he can give you an overview of Crossing Guards, how many we have, where we're at financially, and whatever vacancies exist. Again, before I turn it over, I want to be very clear that the school districts have the right to request the amount of guards that they feel they need at any time. And that letter's sent out annually.
Okay, and one of the things on the agenda that we thought were going to be included was just that, the process for requesting guards, funding, safety equipment, and the number of guards placed at each school.
Yes, sir. I think Lieutenant Gregory is the appropriate person for that.
Thank you, Chief. I'd like to recognize the presence of Pro Tem Holland.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, Council. I'm Dominic Gregory. I'm one of the supervisors for Newcastle County Crossing Guards. I guess the best way to explain it is how the unit is ran. Currently, we have, I believe, 132 crossing guards. We just hired five, but I think now we're down to three, so the number may be off by one. What happens is we control public schools, Catholic schools, private schools. We do the Brandywine School District, we do the Appaquinimic School District, the Red Clay School District, Christina School District, and the Votex. What happens is we have regular guards, which are guards who go to a post during the day. They have a regular post, they go to schools. They usually do 35 minutes in the morning at one school, say a elementary or a high school. Then they travel and they go to their second post. Two usually in the morning, then they come back and they repeat that in the afternoon. So they usually work, 95% of our guards work basically 4 hours a day. It's a part-time job. They cannot exceed 25 hours. Used to go 25 hours. However, the school district no longer has midday schooling. Kindergarten has been dismissed, so everything's full day. So that extra hour they lost, so everything is now 4 hours. Some guards work at three just because of the way the schedule breaks. And I think we have six guards that don't work a total of 4 hours each day. And those six consist of 3 hours and 2 hours. Remaining guards, I think 120 are regular. The remaining 12 guards are substitute guards. What happens is these guards fill in when the regular guards, one, cannot make the post because they call out sick. Two, they may have a death in the family. And three, we have an older workforce. We deal with a lot of illnesses and injuries, and we have the substitute fill in for that. A lot of times we know the schedule beforehand, so we can call the substitute to come fill in for the regular guards. Each district varies with the amount of guards. October of each year leading up to, well, this past year, October, all letters get sent out to district seeing if they need guards. They request the guards. They have the final say. We don't control the guards. It's for them. Do they tell me they want 180 or 60? No, then we just send the letters out. Do you need any additional guards? These posts have been established. They've been on the books for years. Patterns change for the kids. Elementary kids that are crossing at one time may go up to middle. Middle may go up to high school. Sometimes the posts, they're still always there on record. However, there's posts at there, the kids are just not crossing because the patterns have changed. If the kids are not crossing, The post still stays the same, but I will not put a guard there because if there's no kids crossing, we're not going to pay them since there's no kids crossing. If district calls us and says, hey, there's new kids now, there's a new family moved in, or now there's kids now of the elementary age, then we'll fill the post back there. If district requests additional, they'll get a guard. If they don't, we maintain what we have. It's simple as that. We use 5 guards off a day. We allow off. However, that number can go up to 12 in one day very easily due to either deaths in the family, as I mentioned earlier, sicknesses or unforeseen problems or jury duty. I handle the Appaquinimic, the Colonial, and the Brandywine School District. Lieutenant Schneiders handles the other two, well, actually 3 with VOTEC. You've got Red Clay, Christina, and the VOTEC area. We do have some guards where they're 1 person per post, some are 2 people per post. In the last 8 years, well, let me go back. Actually, in the last 5 years, we've lost 32 schools due to private schools and public schools, just due to funding and, you know, incomes are not what they used to be. The crossing guard budget is all established, and Ed Milowicki could talk about that. I do not handle that part of it. When a new guard is hired, it says here in the overview about safety equipment. When a new guard is hired, and just to give you an example, the ones we just hired, we initially clothe them with safety equipment. The initial cost is roughly $1,040. And what that consists of is they get short, fancy polo shorts like you see here, or long sleeves.
Short, fancy.
They also get 5 pair of pants, as you see what I'm wearing also. They get short yellow reflectors, winter raincoats. They also get the long ones. However, they sometimes leak. That's a problem with the vendor. That's a side joke. They get spring coats that say Newcastle County Crossing Guards on. They get a yellow vest. They get gloves. They get a whistle. They get a whistle and a chain. They have a badge, baseball cap, a flashlight that flashes or solid. They get belt and flares if they need flares at their post. If clothing gets worn out or needs to be replaced, we have a supply unit. They come, we replace the clothing at that point. In the wintertime, it's supposed to be a long sleeve polo. In the summertime right now, it's a short sleeve. The last piece of outer garment has to be a yellow reflecting type of gear, so they're more visible. Years ago, we had that brown heavy winter jacket. Since I've been there, we've done away with that because it's just the visibility is not there. Usually what happens at the beginning of each year, we do have guards that may retire to go through the summer, then they retire. Then we elevate the substitutes by seniority up into the regular post, and then we hire new substitutes to fill them for the ones that have just replaced the regular guards. That's basically the overview of the crossing guards. I'll field any questions that you may have.
Have we considered any communication devices such as radios, cell phones?
All the crossing guards the majority have cell phones. At the beginning of each year, we ask them emails. I think we have an older workforce. A lot of them, 75%, do not have emails, or they won't tell us the emails. We communicate a lot through phones. When they're out on post, they have their cell phones. They'll call us. There's never been a problem with communicating. They did have radios, which was donated a few years back, but that was not a process that went well due to either phones being lost or people never used them. When we collected them, we got half of them back because people didn't know where they were at. Communicating, getting to us while they're out there has not seemed to be a problem since I've been there. Like I said, communicating just in general with the guards for meetings, we do send out flyers because I said it'd be so much easier if they all had emails, but like I said, 75% do not have emails. So communicating on a daily basis, if it's, you know, while they're working, they do have cell phones, they'll call us. That hasn't been a problem. If it's somewhere outside of that where we have to have a gathering, we'll do manual calls, but we also send out letters where we mail to them.
well, and this is just me, my concern is a safety concern. And every once in a while, you have somebody who's not patient, doesn't want to wait for a school bus, doesn't want to wait for the last kid to get across the highway or the street, and does what he or she wants to do. And I just want to make sure that if there is an attempt to, they have a capability to be able to get help if they need help.
And that's a good question, because I mean, we do have an inpatient society today. At every post, we have people jumping their hand signals, jumping the red light. What usually happens is, today, how it operates, the guards will get the tag number. We research the tag number, and we'll have the county police officers reach out and contact those individuals. If it's incident right there, they know it's 911, like I said, and they would call, and we'd have immediate response if need be. But that is true. People today are very impatient, and they do jump the guards and quite often.
I'd like to recognize the President, Councilman Reddick, Councilman Weiner, and go to Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I knew I'd heard in the past that it was no longer being utilized, and I just want to say it's a shame on the cell phone issue. Because I remember county executive at that time was Chris Coons, got Verizon involved, and they donated and agreed to take care of, provide a cell phone and a charger for each crossing guard that would dial 911, that would take 911. And I mean, it was a good program. I remember the kickoff and thought it was a great thing. And it's a shame it either didn't get utilized or went by the wayside, because you can't expect them to keep replacing. So sure. I understand that.
Yeah, for a little bit of disadvantage. I wasn't in here when that took place. I am familiar with it, so I can comment a little bit on it. It's something, you know, we will look back into. If it's anything that can provide them immediate contact with us if they need it, sure, we're all for that. I know it was implemented at one time.
Yeah.
I just don't know how, from what I was gathering, the information that I read, and was told that it just didn't go well. No fault of anybody. However, it just wasn't at the time. The guards, I guess, just weren't usually familiar with cell phones, but they can use them if they want them. Most majority of them now have their own. They will call 911 if need be. It hadn't seemed to be a problem if they needed immediate response to get there. Usually it's response after the fact, after the incident occurs.
I just say, you know, it's a shame that it didn't work out, because you get a program, you get a corporate entity willing to work with you on something like that. If you make that work, then you build on for future and expand it. But what happens, happens. You know what I mean? It's a shame.
No, all for that, I can discuss with the colonel and the director and, you know, see if that's an option. And sure, anything that can make it safer for them, we'll definitely be open for revisiting that program.
Well, I would like to say that, Chief, I, for one, would hope that it would be something we can revisit. And two, his comments, he said that somebody is aggressive and doesn't want to pay attention, that they get the tag number and reach out. I hope we're doing more than reaching out. I hope we're reaching on and locking folks up when they want to endanger kids and want to endanger our crossing guard.
My direct knowledge, sir, is that when a tag is called in, if they can give us the information or sign a warrant, we'll sign it for them, depending on what the charge is, and we do pursue people that endanger the children and the guards. They don't get a pass.
Yeah, make sure we reach out to Councilman Tag.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Mr. Gregory, I guess on your presentation, I guess I'm looking at it too from a little bit of a safety issue. You talked about you have some that are only a one-person post.
That's correct.
And then, I mean, just sitting here with, you know, us having four kids, I could kind of think of like a little periphery of issues that could somehow come up that could distract or could happen to the crossing guard. And what would be the premise for having a one-person post without some type of a backup there in case something was to happen or they get distracted and not have another guard there as opposed to a two?
The ones are mainly reserved for side streets inside the communities. Two are dual highways, such as Basin Road, Falk Road, stuff like that. But you have, say, Olive B. Loss down in Brandon Estates, side streets, or St. Peter's, a side street where you have one traffic and where you have very few cars. So the one guard is reserved for a low-risk area where it's inside a community where there's not much volume of traffic, very few ways to be distracted. Two, if not more, are used for dual highways and busy intersections where traffic is much faster than inside of a community of 25 and under speed limit.
So pretty much those low traffic areas, you would be comfortable if the crossing guard wasn't there, you know, and the kids would be able, you'd feel they would probably be able to cross safely. That's why we don't put two.
Yeah, most of the ones inside of a community or elementary, a lot of the elementaries are crossed by their kids, by their parents, but there is a guard there. I mean, anyone where we have the one inside the community, it doesn't seem to be a problem or a safety risk at that point. As I said, it's very low volume, and like I said, they cross with their parents at a time. So you have the parents and the guards there.
Councilwoman Kopacz.
Thank you. I think when I first asked if we could have this meeting, it was because of an email that came through to all of us. And through my office, Angelique did some research for me just to see kind of what the school districts thought. And I have to say that for the most part, the school districts all thought that they were treated very fairly, that in what they requested is what they got. There was one district, however, that did say that they requested 62 guards for the school year. And they thought that they had, no, it wasn't that one, but one of them decided that they said that they did not get everybody that they requested. They thought they got about 50% of what they had requested. If anybody wants to see this, Michelle Fox Snyder sent over the number of guards that are at each school, and we can forward this electronically if somebody would like. But it shows the number of guards that are at each school and all of the posts that are filled, you know, per area. She also sent over a notation talking about how in October of each year that they send out a letter. It seems so one of the districts, somebody did not know about this letter. So if the letter, I guess my request here would be that if the letter goes to the superintendent, maybe that it also go to the district transportation people or vice versa, so that everybody seems to be on the same page, if that's at all possible. I don't know who you actually send it to.
Well, the distribution list is directly out of the school districts. I mean, if there's someone or somehow, some way we've missed it, I'd like to know what district that is, because I think it should be very clear that that's not my budget. It's a separate budget line right. item. It has nothing to do with my budget. It's separate. Okay. That's first and foremost. Second off, it doesn't hurt me if we have to hire more guards. It doesn't do anything. So I'm not opposed to having the amount of guards that are necessary to keep the kids safe. I'm 100% for that.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a district, right. I'd like to contact them. I'd like to know what district it is. I'd like to have the lieutenant speak to them, and I'd like to make sure they have the amount of guards that can be justified at that site.
And also, understanding that some of these spots are deleted because DelDOT puts up pedestrian crosswalk signals, and so then it's, you know, no guards then are needed. So I understand that there's a fluctuation in what's needed depending on a variety of factors. The other question that came across, and this may be something for the Department of Finance rather than for you, was the concern about if we tax, we have a crossing guard tax, if we get, you know, $1 million, all made up numbers here, we get $1 million in a year and we only spend $875,000, what happens to that other portion of the money?
I'm going to let the money guy answer
that. Does it roll over? Does it, do we deduct it from the next year's tax line? I mean, how does that work?
Each school district has its own tax rate, and we monitor that by school district. If there's any pluses or minuses in that year, that money gets rolled over into the following year calculations of those rates. So if for some reason there's available money at the end of that year, when the calculation for the rate for the next year, we would take that into consideration.
That changes that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So we aren't just stockpiling money.
Oh no! Every year,
after the fact.
Every year we recalculate the rate based
okay.
on the need and whatever happened the year before.
Okay. So,
Do we have in place, or better yet, could we keep an administration, I might answer now, but thinking out loud, could we put in place some kind of dispute resolution wherein
if there's a discrepancy between what a district requests versus what we grant, that it, at least it can be reconsidered at some level here and there before we make the final decision. Because I'm concerned that school district that says they're not getting what they wanted is in a growing area. There are newer schools being built in. Things continue to go as I think envisioned. There's going to be a need for additional schools there. So I'm just something that you may consider in terms of at least a sit down face to face in some type of dispute resolution when it comes to this.
I would have to think it over, Councilman, how to do that. I don't know how I would bring every district in for a face to face, but I suppose if we set up a one-time meeting and invited them in annually to make sure that they're getting what they need, I wouldn't be opposed to that, sir. I'd have to figure out how it would be done. Perhaps it could be done in the same format as a community meeting and go through and have everybody check their numbers of what they have and what they requested.
Well, I do know, I don't know what this administration is doing, but I do know previous administrations used to have regular meetings about various things with all the superintendents. And here we're talking about 5-6. So I don't see it for what that would be an inappropriate or undue burden to at least have a conversation face-to-face with them about something as important as that.
I'm certainly not opposed to it, sir.
Councilman Farrell.
Yes, I know Councilwoman Kilpatrick said that they're not putting a road crossing. When we had a road crossing put on 301, we had to get two guards to go with it, partly, and it was the school district requesting it because the kids were crossing in too many places to make it safer. That's what it was. And I know you keep up with the school district quite a bit because we've been in stuff together.
We had that meeting with the pet light. Then when they started the pet light, I had concerns about the safety features of the pet light. If you remember, I was opposed to Del Lac because they had the kids cross from the corner to the small island, which I said shoulder traffic needs to be shut down. So the design, I will tell you this, pet lights in some areas, yes, they work 100%. However, like anything new, you have to tweak some things. So in certain areas, they've identified where pet lights, they can't get a grip on it. William Penn High School, they're not going to be able to put a pet light there for a while until they figure out it's just too congested. So yes, some of the areas, pet lights will replace guards, but they're not going to be, they're not 100%. They do make things safer, but you need a pet light and you do need a guard because, like I said, they had the kid come from the corner, cross the shoulder onto a small island. And that there, you have, and they think, well, the cars are going to stop on the shoulder. That's an engineer from Del Dot telling me that, and we can just support that argument, but that doesn't always happen. So that's why the guards, along with the pet lights, do make it
just
safe.
Just understand, if there wasn't anybody there, it would just get them to the middle of the road. And that's why we have a crossing guard on both sides of this road, which we had a problem because it was a right in, right out. And at the time, the school district was doing some building on the high school. We had some money left to help realign the intersection. And then with Senator Ennis and I think Quinn Johnson got the money to straighten this thing out. But Del Dot, if you went by what they said, we put those kids right out in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you better, you know, to say that, you better make sure somebody's at that meeting understands what's going on there.
Go, Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Who regulates our program? Is it our Department of Public Safety or Del Dot? When the schools communicate with us as far as how many people they need and everything, because in my mind, ped lights, it's an additional type enhancement, but it is not in no way, shape, or form a replacement of a living, breathing crossing guard there. And the problem that I have is that all you have to do is go to intersection with these ped lights and watch folks, okay? Inadvertently, they'll go through the light. There's no one there. I think it endangers the children. There's nothing like a human breathing crossing guard at that intersection.
Right.
And these ped lights, I think, is an enhancement, but at the same time, a child gets confused and a child gets injured or killed because we don't have a crossing guard there. I think we need to tell DLDOT to fix some of the roads that they need to fix instead of telling us how to do our crossing guard.
Colonel said, Councilman, yes, if a school has the ped light but they say they want a guard, as far as I know, they're getting a guard.
Yeah, the ped light's there. It's just the ped light is basically going to be for when it's not a school cross, when a civilian goes outside of the peak hours. They're there, but we're still going to manage, because like I said, you still need them with the crossing guards. There's always going to be a need, and I agree that the ped light, yeah, it's there for, I guess, when the kids are not crossing. That's fine for adults, I guess. But yeah, you can't have that replace it with a guard, not at all.
You know, I watch folks,
and they're not regulating that.
Yeah, I watch folks at intersections with crossing guards at the intersection, and they are brazen. They would rather run down a crossing guard and the children to get to work. So I think with these ped lights, I think we ought to take them with a grain of salt as far as how effective they are to protect children.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The district that said that they got 50% or less, did they report that back? Or they just report it to you? I found that to be very alarming, that a school district would have less than or have 50% of the guards they requested and not make a complaint to the authorities about that.
It was a phone conversation with Angelique.
Excuse me, can I ask what district that was?
Do you remember? I don't have the chart.
I'm not familiar with that, my tenure.
Appaquinamon?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, it is on here, it is Appaquinamon.
Yeah, and what happened was the remaining guards, they became bus riders, not walkers. I talked to Greg Tulowitzki 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Greg is the one who heads up their transportation. When that initially started, probably like, I don't know, it was probably 4 years ago, and that was for Brick Mill. But the majority of them kids that they were going to walk, they then turned them into bus riders, so that remaining amount of guards were not going to be needed, because now them kids were on the bus and they were not walkers.
Okay, then the only other district was Christina, and they said that if in the middle of the year they needed another guard or two, that request may or may not be granted depending on manpower.
But let's be clear about Christina, because Christina employs guards from both the county and the city.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there may be more to that.
I just think it's irresponsible for the district itself to be that short of guards and not say anything until they get a phone call from the county. I think the responsibility then is back on that district to have children that are underprotected because no one called them to find out how many guards they have.
Well, and just, can I, just to be fair to, you know, to everyone here, that we did invite the districts to come today. We told them that the meeting was this afternoon at 3:00, and if anybody had a concern, that this would be the time to bring it.
Right.
So we, and I don't see.
Well, maybe they're here.
The guards already went home. They couldn't let them cross the street.
Yeah. Well, I would just tell you.
I don't see anybody from a district here unless I'm missing.
Greg Tulowitzki is from Appaquinamon, and I can tell you I deal with him daily. If there was ever a problem with that, I'd have been the first to know. When this initially came in, I guess we heard about this, we didn't know what district it was, and just until now. And the explanation I will tell you what happened, and they initially requested that, those then walkers became bus riders. So therefore, they got what they needed for the walkers and not the riders. And I communicate with Greg often. If he had a problem, he knew, one, I would have took care of it. And the councilman here will tell you the same thing, because I dealt with them when we were down at Appo with the ped lights. So if there was a problem with that, then it was a secret, and he wasn't telling. I do deal with him every day. Well, not every day, but quite often, where it's a good relationship.
Okay, well, I mean, just, you know, understand that the issues came in. Some of them had to do with fiscal problems or questions, and some of them had to do, you know, with the safety of the kids. So we just did this kind of general study, asked that we have you guys here so we can kind of vet some of these issues back and forth, and understand that we're going to come out with a better product if something needs to be made better.
Sure.
And maybe, you know, maybe it's a good product to begin with, but I just felt that since an email went to everybody, that we needed to publicly discuss it, not behind closed doors.
Director Bryant.
Thank you. Director Bryant. Probably first and foremost, when it comes to the children going, crossing our railways to go to school, our crossing guards are committed to ensuring that they get there safely. I've been around them long enough to know, meaning the two lieutenants in charge of that unit, if there's a problem at a particular stop or at a district or at a school, they handle it immediately. I can give you an example of one school in Newcastle City. They had an issue with buses blocking the driveway or something. As soon as they got the call, and I got the call, this lieutenant and others were at that school. And they spent days down there, days on at least a week, to straighten out the problem. And the school called us back and told us. We will look into the idea of a phone. That's a good idea. And I know at one point there was a relationship with Verizon, especially when it comes to battered women. They'll take in phones, refurbish them, and it will be a direct call to 911. It's very possible, and the captain will look into it to see if there is a way for us to get enough phones like that for our crossing guards. But I don't want anyone here to think that we don't put our kids at the very highest priority. We will continue to. If there's a school with a problem, and it's anyone around this table or in this room, if there's a problem that's brought to your attention by a school, by a district, let us know. And we'll be the first ones there to address the problem.
Director, I appreciate your comments. I'm sure council appreciates your comments, and I think we're all on the same page when it comes to, one, we want our children safe, two, we want our guards safe. Mr. McDonald.
Tim McDonald, executive officer. You give me a count of how many phones you need. Any disabled phone,
right,
by FCC regulation will dial 911 without,
right,
having service. So if we can just get a group of donated phones with chargers, we can probably solve the problem pretty quickly.
We can do that by this room and have enough.
I got enough on the floor of my truck.
Co-chairman Batch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I especially appreciate the fact that our finance department, which does a tremendous job, clarified the fact that these monies are not shared, are not part of our police department's budget as far as any utilization separate from crossing guards within our police department. And wherever that came from, I don't know, but we all know the job that our finance department does. We also know the job that our police department does with managing their funding, their grants, their operating funds, and I think that was good that's clarified, that there is no mixture or use of these funds under any stretch of imagination within our police department to support our police operations.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from council? Questions, comments from the public? Yes, sir. Please state your name.
My name is Frank Chantry. I'm the president of IBW 2270. I represent the Newcastle County Crossing Guards, and I brought and sent everyone is an email with some concerns. The reason I had the concerns because of prior meetings with Lieutenant and their office of information I requested was it didn't compare it. It was different from each time I would get it. They said some things here which are a little bit different than what I'm perceiving. And I'd like to have some opportunities for you all to speak to some of the crossing guards, the senior crossing guards here. But for one, the budget, I did not get the requested breakdown of the budget. I know that the taxes generate $3.9 million, and the cost of the salary, I was told, is $1.6 million. That leaves a lot for administration. I requested, and I recently requested, under the Freedom of Information Act, a breakdown of different things and who's on the payroll. The majority of our crossing guards make the lowest rate at $10. I think maybe 40-some percent make the top rate of 18. And they do not all get 20 hours. In fact, a lot of them got 25 hours under the same budget and now get less, and there's less guards now. And the budget is more and more every year with the taxes. And for some reason, we're less and less. And the guards are not allowed to communicate with each other or with the home base. They are supposed to call, if instead of calling 911, they are told that they have to call the office. And then it goes through them. They're not allowed to speak to each other. That is why the phones were taken away at one point. They cannot call a police officer to the scene if there's an incident. We've had a incident with Angela where she was spat on by a man and she called and nothing was done by it. She could tell you more incidents. It's a very dangerous job, and I do believe that the director here cares about the children and he wants them to be safe. But in previous meetings and again today, Lieutenant said that he does tell the school districts if they don't need the guards. The one that requested 60 and got about 25%, they just lost them. They didn't say, can you take them now they're on the bus? They just lost them because the lieutenant has admitted, both of them, that they do post themselves to count the children and report back to the school districts and tell them that they don't need the guards. That, I believe, is a violation of the law and the intent of the crossing guard law. I believe that, I don't know the motive, but they are cutting the guards by opinion. I don't know if it's their own opinion or if it's Del Dot's opinion, but they're doing it without the school district's knowledge. Thank you.
Okay. We appreciate you bringing your concerns forward. Certainly this council has heard them. And what I suggest is relates to discrepancies with finance is that if you don't have clarification, you take that up with Mr. Miller. We is there. Finance department, be happy to discuss that with you. And certainly everybody shares concern that you have, we all have, about communication. So my view is that I don't think, and nor do we want you to perceive as the department or the administration being your enemy. We all want to work this out together, and I'm looking forward to doing just that. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I was curious. You have a collective bargaining agreement?
Yes, we do.
You have a grievance procedure?
This is not a grievance. This is bigger than a grievance.
Right. The issue is not covered by your collective bargaining agreement, is what you're telling me.
We have went through the grievance procedures. This has been ongoing for a couple of years. We want to resolve this too. They're not my enemy.
I'm just asking. Yeah. So is this, or and none of your issues that you've raised today are covered by your collective bargaining agreement?
No. None of these issues that I brought up today here.
Well, I suggest you get them in your next one.
Co-Chairman Bell, and then Chief
McCombie.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman. I just want to comment. I think that if we're hearing that things have, digressed, hasn't improved over the last couple of years. We have a brand new public safety director, and I think that well-seasoned, well-experienced, and I think that we've seen significant changes and improvements in direction of all the departments working together, hand in hand, and I'm satisfied with the fact that our Director of Public Safety has said that our department will do everything humanly possible to communicate, reach out, get the job done the way it's supposed to be done. And I have no doubt whatsoever in our police department, our entire public safety department, or this council when it comes to child safety and everything. So it's very difficult for us to deal with personnel matters here at a council level, but I think from what I can see and my observations of how the department is run and managed, I can't see how we can't get everybody together and get some things resolved or concerns they have with the director that we have and the colonel we have and everything. And if there's issues within a division, you know, I don't think that our director or colonel will tolerate that.
Chief?
Any and all 911 calls are easily identified and trackable. We can track the date. We can go back into the CAD and look at why or an officer did or did not respond, who authorized them to respond or not authorized them to respond. So all I need is a date and a time where 911 was called to Newcastle County, which we field about 400,000 calls a year. I don't know that anybody in communications is weeding through saying, let's not check on our guards. I think these guards are out there doing a terrific job, and I think it's a dangerous job, and I have no reason whatsoever not to have as many guards as necessary by the school districts.
Okay, and I think this conversation has been healthy. I think we're all on the same page. It's a matter, and I'm glad the director rose to the occasion. It's a matter of how we get there, and I'm sure collectively we'll find an appropriate path forward. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Any other questions or comments from the public on this subject? Council? Okay. Moving on, I wanted to move on to other, and I frankly have something under other. And about 2 weeks ago, I looked at the News Journal, and I know you're not, but anyway, I looked at the News Journal, and there was a picture and a statement attributed to the chairman of public safety for Wilmington City Council, suggesting that there should be a combined Wilmington County Police Force. And the county executive, according to the public press, responded if somebody had some ideas, he'd be willing to talk about it. The suggestion in the article was there should be a task force convened to consider combining the Wilmington and County Police Department. I want to make it real clear that I personally oppose anything like that. I sit here and I have repeatedly, I think for almost 10 years, have repeatedly talked about multi-jurisdictional activities, multi-jurisdictional task force, but I'm quite frankly opposed to anything that comes close to metropolitan and combining police forces. Is just, it's an outrageous idea, it's completely out of the question, and I wanted to make it clear on the record, they may have, Wilmington City Council may have a chairman of the Public Safety Committee who wants to combine police forces, but from this side, I don't even want the county executive to entertain that and dignify it with a response. I don't want him to have a meeting. I don't want him to have a discussion. I want him to see to it that this police department continues to run the way it's been running and done in an exemplary fashion. So I, quite frankly, was so upset about it, I came up here to a meeting a week early. So co-chairman Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too, as one of the co-chairs of public safety, could not agree with you more. I think that you know, when you take a look at the city of Wilmington, they have an excellent police department. They have I believe some 320 officers in the city of Wilmington, and they have an excellent police department. Do they need to make some changes, or do they need to take a look at the way they're policing? That falls under their structure and their command. I think that what we've seen in Newcastle County is a very creative vision, a very progressive vision of how policing should be done in this county and how effective it can be, and we've seen the results. And it's been through a lot of years of work, and I think that our police department that patrols this county, 370 strong, and may be off a few, but the fact is when we compare it to other similar counties, and we've done this before, we're doing the work of 500 plus police officers with our 370. When you look at the type of situations that are occurring in the county, countywide, when you take a look, we have some shootings occurring. We have some home invasions. We occasionally have a homicide. But I think the leadership of our police department and our police officers in general, our department, deserve a tremendous amount of credit in their response, in their clearance, immediate clearance rates, investigations, and clearance. And one of the things that we need to be very, very careful of is they're stretched to the limit now. When we look at the number of calls, we look at the type of activity, backup to officers in the county is not always there like it is in a city or metropolitan type environment where officers are in a smaller area. We're dealing with a 440 square mile county, heavily populated, different types of areas, from towns to cities to rural, densely populated, sparsely populated, distance factors and everything. So I too join with what you said here. I think our message should be loud and clear to the administration and to the council public safety chair of the city that have no intention in the future to support any merging of our city and county police departments. The men and women in brown in our county police department do an excellent job. And like I say, I think that, you know, the city police officers don't have an easy job. But I think they're well represented. If there's changes need to be made, it needs to be made within the city to better enhance our services, not at the expense of our county police department. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, I think for whatever reason, some people have a tendency to think that the door began to swing open when downstairs we had officers from both the police departments sworn in together. Well, I want to do everything I can for those who have that misguided understanding is that to the extent you think the door is swinging open, I'm going to do everything I can think of to close it shut as it relates to combined police departments.
And just one final thing, Mr. Chairman, because the co-chairs speak on a regular basis about different issues, and I think the fact that, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, whether you look at the dual swearing in and not to be misinterpreted, I don't think that the message to anyone should be that our county police department will not, has not, and will not cooperate and work hand in hand with our city police department and special operations, both in the city and in the county. But the fact of the matter is that we will continue to support and sustain a separate county police department in this county. I think that's what the message has to be, and I couldn't agree with you more.
And they're already working together. I mean, it's been new activity. It's been multi-jurisdictional. I don't think it's been given a chance to work and really come to fruition as expected, but it's not like there's not already some collective work being done. Pro Tem Hopkins.
Now, I yield to the director. I think his comment is related to what you're talking about. I have another issue on the other.
Yes, sir. Director Bryant, again, 37 years ago when I came on the job, this was the conversation back then about bringing these two agencies together, and it didn't happen then, and it's not going to happen today. The one thing that I can tell you that we're doing today that we haven't done in the past, the three major agencies, the Delaware State Police, Wilmington, and Newcastle County, we are working so closely together that we're talking about 1,000 plus police officers working together in this county. We have a strong relationship. We, the colonels of the Delaware State Police, our colonel, and the chief of Wilmington, the acting chief, we meet on a regular basis to talk about stuff. We just completed a major project, a joint project on the Lancaster Pike corridor that yielded the largest amount of heroin ever seized in the state of Delaware. This is something that they haven't seen in this state, at least in this county, in a very long time. We have worked hard to get here. We work closely with Wilmington. We know they have issues. They have some of the best cops around. They have needs, and part of needs we're helping them with. We have come up with this great idea thanks to our colonel, and it seems to be working insofar as keeping the crime rate down, and we are sharing that with others, in particular the Wilmington Police Department. The acting chief in Wilmington is at our building more now than ever before, because we have a relationship, and we're going to continue to have that working relationship to combat crime in this county. There is no need for us to have a metropolitan police department. We already have one. We just have three different leaders that we're going to continue to do it that way. So please understand, we're in good hands, I think, in the county. Again, thanks to Colonel Setting, Colonel McQueen, and Acting Chief Cummings. We're working well together. I think we're being very successful, and we will continue to do this as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. And I just wanted to be clear that I'm not ever going to be in favor of metropolitan anything. And I'm taking the same position on Wilmington and combining with the county that did with folks who wanted to come forward previously to talk about combining the state and the county. Okay? All that just needs to be forgotten about and thrown away somewhere. Councilman Holland.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I live in the city, and everybody knows that the city is a dangerous place. We have a national reputation for being one of the most dangerous cities in the country. And what Wilmington doesn't need is to have people identified as being Wilmington residents who are committing heinous crimes. So I would respectfully request that when we send out our notices, the one I received on our website saying Wilmington man rapes boy and the man lives in Pike Creek, I don't think it's necessary to put Pike Creek there. It's certainly not necessary to put Wilmington there, and it happens too frequently, and people who live in the city are very concerned when this happens, and it happens frequently in the newspaper. But this was created on our own website from our police department when the notice came that Wilmington man rapes boy and the guy lives in Pike Creek. I think we need to be more careful about the jurisdictions where they live and where they're coming from. If it's necessary to put it there where they live, just make sure it's accurate.
Well, you know, I understand your concern. I'm a resident of the city, and I think I have publicly raised my concern about crime in the city, shooting in the city just as much as anybody. By the same token, I don't particularly agree with the characterization of the city that is overall dangerous. And even though there's an unprecedented number of shootings last year, I don't feel unsafe. I don't think the city's unsafe. And we have challenges comparable to other cities similarly situated. And I was in a conversation last night with some other elected officials, and you know, one of the things we need to do is start spreading some of the good news about the city as opposed to accentuating all the things that are wrong. And you know, again, I think the comments of our director are right on target, and I'm optimistic about those jurisdictions and that leadership working together are reducing even the negative things about the city. So I've said my piece, and I appreciate and respect what you're saying as well.
Colonel Setting, just to answer the councilman's request, I think they're taking a shortcut, councilman, saying Wilmington because they don't mean Wilmington proper. But I'd like to meet with the PIOs and ask them to be more specific. I think you're right about that, sir, and I'm going to talk to both PIOs.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair.
Councilman Warren. Thanks. A month ago, I contacted the News Journal and brought to their attention that they were grouping crimes in the wrong neighborhoods. It was programmed incorrectly. They reprogrammed the computer. I've been watching now for the last month, and they've done a better job. I'm now working on the real estate section as well, because they just have programs that where there is people who actually live here that know our neighborhoods. So I spoke to John Sweeney about this just yesterday, and he and I are following up on it.
Well, I think that's excellent, and one of the things that other people have mentioned is absolutely consistent with Councilman Hollins is saying, the fact that not our news releases, but the News Journal itself there's a crime that happens somewhere, and all of a sudden the article says Wilmington, and actually in some instances it happened nowhere near the city itself. So that's something we need to keep working on. Anything else? Anyone else under other? Co-Chairman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll keep this real brief. We're all sworn to represent the people of our districts, and we all try to do that. And as you just heard, and we've all heard in prior meetings, that I think we're all extremely supportive of our police department, our emergency services, our county workers in general. But I just bring it up as an informational thing. It's not meant to be derogatory towards anyone who created or made the decision to go to Black Tahoes in our police department. But let me just say that I had comment prior to. I have had more comment since the article was in the paper about why we changed the color of our police vehicles. And the only thing that I think is that folks that have communicated, and it has been several, either in a public meeting or seeing them in the supermarket, whatever, is more that they, when they saw the White County Police car with the gold and the brown and everything, they clearly identified it as County Police. It's difficult to see at nighttime. I mean, I've heard it, and I just convey it because, you know, maybe there's a difference between maybe some special operations and regular routine patrol that could be considered, but not everyone, as far as constituency out in the county, at least from my district, are overwhelmed with the new color. And I just bring it up as an informational thing.
Well, Councilwoman Kopatrick.
I just said this to President Bullock, that I get the same comments, that after the article came out in the paper about combining the police forces, people have said, you knew this was coming because they have already changed the color of their cars. We also got the issue about the black car. You do not see them at night. And when, if you see pictures in the paper where it says police on the side, if you look at that, you don't even see the word police because it's not white even, it's gold or something. But the color of the car is, I think, is an issue. Invisibility.
Let's make them silver.
White.
Before we go to you, the meeting that I chaired first this year, at the end of the meeting, I purposely and intentionally said something about the change of vehicle colors and wanted to give folks who wanted to respond to that give an opportunity to say what was going on with the cars, with the color of the car. And I decided, especially coming out of the block, I wasn't going to get in a fight about the color of the police car. But I say, and I'm not going to get in a fight about it today. I'm going to let those who have concerns fight about that. By the same token, the other thing that's being put in the equation, we have Tahoes, our color, state police has Tahoes that are dark colored. Now the city has some Tahoes that are dark colored. So when somebody calls me and say, this, that, and the other happened with police officer, well, was it county, city, or state? I don't know, it's a Tahoe. Right. That's a problem. Right. I'm gonna leave it at that.
I just want to say I've only had three complaints, and each of them are writing checks. So that's why they don't like them. They couldn't see them as they went by. So I said, hey, Chief, anything for the budget.
Chief, I think you're going to be the final voice on this one today.
You know what? I can swing for the fences, sir, but it doesn't necessarily I'm going to make it. The Crown Victoria does not exist. It's gone. It's finished. The fleet was aging before I even took over, aging to the point where we were actually putting officers out in unsafe motor vehicles that exceeded 100, some in the case of 120,000 miles. Even when the accreditation team came in, they identified the fact that we had to change our vehicles out. In short, you don't just go, I'd like to get black Tahoes. That didn't happen. We actually bought several cars, including a Chevy Caprice, a Ford Taurus, and we even bought two white Tahoes. They were white, and we gave them the K-9 unit. Actually, it all comes down to an individual's opinion, but the white Tahoes did not look good. We convened a committee, as we do so often. That committee put together a great package where we were going to go back to brown and gold, which is what we were when I came on 5 minutes ago. And those brown and gold cars were very good looking. I know this is hard to believe, but Chevy doesn't make brown. It makes a color called Arizona beige. Arizona beige, and you put gold on it, it didn't work. So the committee toyed with getting Fords, but the Ford just wasn't the right size. And once you put the cage in it, an individual the size of, say, President Bullock got into the front seat, you can't put Director Bryant in the back. Or me. Well, I mean, you just can't do it. You wouldn't be able to get in the back of the car.
Like
I wouldn't be able to get in the back of the car.
I would like to see the director of a bright red Mini Cooper.
It looked like a clown car. So it just was, the Tahoe was the vehicle. After we tested 4 or 5 vehicles, the Tahoe fit the mission. It also gets rid of this panic every time it snows that, you know, we have rear-wheel drive 8-cylinder cars that they're not even good in the rain, let alone snow. So every time we have snow, which seems to be often now, the police department's paralyzed. So the Tahoe was the logical choice. It used less gas on the EVOC course than a Taurus. The committee picked black. I will take the heat on this. And when they put the gold striping on it, I thought it looked great, and I approved the committee's recommendation. If I could have gotten brown and gold for nostalgia, I would have done brown and gold, but we couldn't do brown and gold without exceeding the cost that we were allowed to exceed. There are only 50 Tahoes, and just as a point of information, the state had them first, the Wilmington had them first, we got them last, but the Journal called me. So I call this state very fair. And when they asked me how much did the Tahoes cost, I said they cost the same that the state paid and the same that Wilmington paid. I have 50 Tahoes in the fleet. State has over 200.
Okay. I personally am going to give deference to Clark Gable over the color of the vehicle. You've heard the concerns other folks have to make about it, and I know we've got to get to executive committee. So, Co-Chairman Bear.
Couldn't agree more with the Tahoes. I think they're, you know, it's an office that our officers ride around in with all the technology, the computers, the equipment, everything. But they also make them in white, and I have to agree with the citizens. I have to agree with the citizens that have contacted me. I'll leave it at that.
I drive black, so I like the black.
I think you're elegant. Black. With that, I want the revenue.
Is there a motion?
Motion adjourned.
Probably move second, all in favor.
All right.
This is the quality of life.
Oh, come on now, come on now.
We can go all day.
That car is still in service. I saw it go down the highway.